We do have an outline for the message tonight. I am not giving it to you during the message, and so you got to write your own notes. What you have to do is pick it up afterward. And so if you don't pick it up afterward, it's gone forever. After that, if you, for example, if you don't get it tonight, they're $50 a piece. Well, we would never do that. But anyway, praise the Lord for the Word of God. Some people say, you know, I don't understand the Bible. It's really kind of an intricate book, and it really is an intricate book, and yet so very, very simple. You know, for example, you don't know what you ought to do. The Lord tells us to ask, and you should find, you know, you should do it. And so what do? We go through life, and we ponder, and we think, and so forth, but we never ask. Well, then don't expect to have the answer. He says, you know, what you would do if you would knock, he says, it would be opened up unto you. He said, you know, I'm thinking about opportunity, and I don't know what to do, and I'm thinking of this and thinking of that. Don't do that. Knock with the Lord. Knock on him, and what he'll do, he'll open it up to you, he'll show you exactly what to do. So whatever the Bible says is what you're supposed to do. It is not only for here, but it's for the feet and the hands, and you actually do it. So I hope that helps you. And just a quick review of the Bible. I want you to turn your Bible, if you would, please. We're going to be in the book of Judges. Book of Judges. And in fact, if you keep your finger there, and I never have you do this hardly, but I want you to go over to the book of Hebrews, if you will. And I wanted to show you what inspires this particular passage of Scripture in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, people were wandering away from the Lord, the Israelites were. And so he addresses that issue over and over again. And as he addresses that issue, he says, you know, there's some good examples of why you should follow in the steps of the Lord. He said, there's some people that were wonderful heroes of the faith. They believed God. They did the thing that they believed, and they had a heart for the Lord. And so he tells some of these heroes and how great they are. We've already looked at many of them. And I want you to look at that again, if you would, please. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And tonight I want to look just briefly at verse 32. For a moment. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 32. Here's what he says. Let me find 32. Here we go. He says, what shall I say more of the time would fail me to tell of Gideon? Gideon, by the way, is a great man of God who had faith, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets. And he mentions these different men. Now, we've talked about some of those men already. We're going to talk about others as well. But tonight, one dude particularly is zero in on Samson. And he says, I recommend him as a man of faith. Now, if the Lord recommends him as a man of faith thousands of years after Samson has lived, God never has changed his mind and said, no, he's not a good man of faith. Don't put him up as an example to anybody. And what you need to do is tear him down all the time. And we hear a lot of tearing down of Samson. And you say, why is that? Number one, we do not understand what God was doing with Samson, and we do not know who he is. Tonight, we're going to start out and find out what God did with him, and that'll help us a lot. But I want you to look also, if you will. Let's see, we're in chapter 11. Draw your attention, if you would, please, and look at verse 33. Who through faith, all these men above, and ladies also, by the way, who through faith subdued kingdoms because God gave them the power to do it, wrought righteousness because God gave him the power to do it, obtained promises, God gave him the power to do it, stopped the mouths of lions, God gave him the power to do it, quenched the violence of fire, God gave him the power to do it, escaped the edge of the sword, God gave him the power to do it, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turn to flight the enemies of the aliens. Then he talks about some of the women, what they did and so forth. And I think the whole point is, these people did these things because God would have it so, and they did not fail, but they persevered, and heroes of the faith do that. And I want you to know right at the beginning, because of Hebrews, if nothing else, because of the book of Hebrews, Samson was not a failure. Samson was a great tool in the hands of God, and that should kind of finish the message, but you need to know why. And I think we're going to help you with that. And so we're going to go back to the book of Judges, if you would, please. Book of Judges. This is 3,000 years ago from our time right now about. And it's about 3,000 years or so ago or so that this all has happened to get together. And we're going to talk about a hero like no other. and that is The Man Samson. That's the title of the message. A hero like no other, and that is Samson. Now, draw your attention, if you would, please. First of all, we're in Judges. If I didn't tell you the chapter, we're in chapter 13. Book of Judges, chapter 13. And I want you to look at verse 5, if you will. We'll start there. Chapter 13, verse 5. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. We'll go back and explain all that. No razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite. By the way, he is not a Nazarene. Make sure you have that straight. A Nazarene is a person who lives in Nazareth. That's his hometown. Notice this. Jesus was a Nazarite. I'm sorry. Jesus was a Nazarene, not a Nazarite. That's what I want to say. Because he lived in Nazareth. That's why. You see pictures of Jesus, for example, with long hair. Long hair is a sign that you're a Nazarite. And since Jesus was from Nazarene, and some people don't understand that, they gave Jesus long hair. But Jesus didn't have long hair because he was not a Nazarite. So we need to understand that as well. Now in the passage, verse 5, says, Lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite. He does not live in Nazarene, in Nazareth, but he's a Nazarite. Nazarite has something to do with our message this morning. What it means is he's a separated one. And he's designed and he's put together for the idea of separation. Everything that this young man is going to do is going to be separation from the world and separation as of the Lord. And that's what we talked about this morning in the morning service. You know, the Bible, whether you're in Hebrews or whether you're in 1 Thessalonians or whether you're in Judges, they all are always the same. God does never get mixed up in what he's preaching in one book or the other. And they all complement each other as we go along the way. Right. When he talks about separation, we looked at that this morning. When he's talking about sanctification, when we looked at this morning. When he's talking about living for God and being honest with God, as we talked about this morning. He's talking about this Nazarite person. He's even talking about Samson, because that's what he's talking about in this chapter 13 and verse 5. So he says, shall a child be a Nazarite unto God from the womb? And notice that it's going to happen from the womb. I want to tell you a little bit about the Nazarite vow, if I might. A man or a woman could take a Nazarite vow. They were never compelled to do it. They were never commanded to do it. But what happened is they had a choice in it. They could do it, and they could cut it off anytime they wanted to. And so it was a certain vow that they had before the Lord, for whatever reason they might have had, that were going to accomplish a certain thing in our life. And so they would take a Nazarite vow. Now, the men had a sign of the fact that they were a Nazarite. What would happen? They'd let the hair grow. And that was an indication. If you saw a man like that in Israel, that means he had this particular vow. And for some reason, he has a vow that's particularly with the Lord and before the Lord. And he intends every way that he knows how to get that thing fulfilled. All right. So anyway, the Lord says, shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. You say now, from the womb. Isn't that highly unusual? How could a young boy from the womb, that means he's an infant, how could he have had a Nazarite vow? He hasn't been able to even make the vow. So what we have here is an unusual situation where God said, this will be your vow from the time you're born, and there's something that you will do with it, and that it is God that's making the vow for him, says, that's what you're going to do. You say, now, preacher, in our lives, does the Lord have an idea of what we should be doing from the time, even before we're born? Because we are human beings before we're born. Yeah. Say amen and I'll go on. Amen. Oh, thank you so much. We won't have to take the legislation. Get that right now. Okay, so your child before you're born, and the Lord says from the womb, what's happening is this boy will be a Nazarite. Hardly expected, because very, very unusual for this man, this young man, Sam, by the way, whose name will be Samson. And God is the one that made the decision, and God keeps it, and bless the name of the Lord, he knows what he's doing. And then God goes on farther, and he says why he would even have this vow. And he said, he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Now, you remember that the judges had a problem during their lifetime. That's why they had judges. What happened? Israel will start out going on real well with the Lord. And as they're going on real well with the Lord, they say, you know, sin is really kind of fun. We can enjoy sin for a season. And let's go back into our sin. Sin will get away from the Lord. So they live like that for a period of time. Then what would happen is they'd get in terrible trouble. They could not prosper. They could not have anything happen right in their life. Everything was wrong. Everything was dismal. These are the people that are out marching on the street. Everything's wrong. They're in the news media. Everything's wrong. They're those kind of folks and so forth, never satisfied in their soul. And so what would happen? God would raise up a judge. And as God would raise up a judge, what would happen? That judge would take them out of that. They'd have victory. Israel would repent. God would give them a judge. They'd begin to have victory. They'd live for a while for victory. The judge would go off the scene. And what do? They go right back to their sin again. And they went through a series of things like that. And they're in a series of that right now. That very same kind of a thing. And so in that, he says, from the womb, he's going to be a Nazarite. But then something else from the womb. He shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistine. They said, now, how could he do that even as a child or whatever? Why is that his expectation? God said, I want you to know that from the womb, that boy has a purpose. I want you to know that what he's going to do, he's going to go after the Philistines big time, and he's going to deliver the Israelites one more time. And so God shows all of that. And it was really God that gave him the vision. It was really God that gave him the vow. It is God on the inside of him that gave him that purpose, and that is what he's going to do. You say, okay, now if God said that's what he's going to do, can it be changed? No. You say, what if something comes into the life that changes it? It cannot change it. It cannot be changed. Now, a Nazarite vow, normal person, they could put it on, they could turn it off. They could keep it for a certain period of time, or they could keep it for a long time, maybe not to keep it very long at all. And that depended on them. This is something that God is doing. And since God is doing it, it cannot be changed no matter what happens in his life, no matter who happens in his life, and no matter what the preachers preach about him, cannot change. Amen. Well, that's good. I got that off my chest. Now, I want you to go back. We're going to go back to chapter 13. We're going to look at verse 1, and we'll see where this all starts off. Let me tell you about a couple of things. As God grooms this particular man, and he does, here's what he does. Number one, God makes an announcement, which I've already given away already, but God makes an announcement of what's going to happen to this individual. He doesn't even exist yet, except that God has him in his mind. Draw your attention, if you would. Verse 1. By the way, the Lord knows all your children before they're ever born. Amen. And he knows all your children before they're ever conceived. Yeah. Did you know that? You say, really? Yeah. Ms. Corkins and I wonder that about that all the time. When we were going to call our son Robert Allen Corkish, how did he turn out that his name was Ronald Allen Corkish? And you say, well, they're very close. Yeah, but they're very close. But see, the first one is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and the second one was. And so the Lord had to have us change the name. You say, does the Lord know all the names of the children ever before they're ever named? Yeah, you thought you named your children? The name of the children is something God's had in his mind forever. You say, how does that work? I haven't got the slightest idea, except I know that God knows everything. Amen? God knows everything. Knows everything about your children, my children as well. Or look again, if you would please, at verse 1, chapter 13, and I'm in verse 1. The children of Israel did evil again. That's what I was telling you about. That's what they always went through this cycle again. In the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines. Those are the old ancient enemies. They couldn't get rid of those Philistines. They're around everywhere. And so now here we go. We have them again. They're in the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. A long time to be in the hand of the Philistine. Heathen. People that are just anti-God. And the Israelites went along with it. And now they're suffering during that period of time. God said, we're going to fix it one more time. And through this man that we're going to have born here. There was a certain man of Zorah. Zorah is a city, and it's the city of the Danites. That's a tribe. And the Danites are people that were designed to be judges, which is kind of interesting. And so, therefore, here comes a judge out of Dan. And of the family of the Danites, that tribe, whose name was Manoah. Manoah means that he's a very quiet man. You say, well, he must not be living in the day in which we live. Probably not, but he's very quiet anyway. And it seems like he's very reserved. He's got it put together pretty good and just a quiet man. You say, is he a man that's going to pick up the sword and start slaying everybody? And probably not, just a quiet man. And he is in the family of the judges. And so suddenly there was a certain man, just happened to be, as God knows what that's going to be, in this particular city. It has a certain family, and it's in the Danites, the judges, a line of judges, whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and bare not. Well, we know this. If she's barren, she's never going to have any children. Unless God decides, you know what, she's going to have children. You say, well, now when God makes an announcement from things, does he often make a supernatural conception? He certainly has the ability to do it. Somebody says, you know, we cannot have children. Well, God can give you children. In fact, many people have said we cannot have children. We know some immediately almost. You can never have children probably. And immediately when they thought, okay, we'll adopt, we'll do this or that, they called us up on the phone and I said, you know what? We're going to have children already. So we don't have to get excited about adopting and all that kind of thing. It's already going to happen. And the Lord knows all those kind of things. But this is a miraculous thing. This lady is barren. That's why the Holy Spirit leaves that there. He wants us to know that she's barren. There's no hope for her to have a child. And she bare not. And that's just how it was in her life. And that's how it is. But now here we come to verse 3. You don't know what God's going to do. When God makes an announcement, he really makes an announcement, makes it big, knows what he's doing. And so here's what he said. The angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said unto her, behold, now thou art barren. Right now you are barren, cannot have children. That's been attested already and through the years and so forth. And bearest not, that's how it is. But, and when the Lord comes into play, you can say this can never happen except for the Lord. Yeah, yep, and here's what's going to happen. But thou shalt conceive and bear a son. You say, who's that son going to be? It's going to be Samson. And you say, well, okay, does God have something in mind for that man? Yes, he does. You say, even from the womb, absolutely from the womb. From a womb, for example, where there could be no children, but now suddenly there are children because of the power of God and what God can do. Let me ask you this question. Let's just put that in perspective. There's something missing in your life. You can't get it all figured out. You don't know what to do. You can't see how it's ever going to come out. It just can't come out. Can't come out. Can you talk to the Lord? Yeah. Can you ask the Lord? Yeah. Will the Lord ever perform? Yeah. But you say it's an impossibility. He loves impossibilities. That's who God is. That's what he deals with. Amen. And you say, well, if it's an impossibility, and we just talked to the Lord about it. Will something show up someday? Absolutely. He said, we have God's promise. Keep seeking. Keep seeking and see what God does. Amen. Because see what he does. That's a good way to know no matter where you are tonight. Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive. I've already seen that happen in the Bible, haven't we? And we already saw a couple that kind of smiled about that, like, whoa. And anyway, those also turned out to be heroes of the faith. Shall conceive, and thou shalt bear a son. Now you say, what would happen if a daughter was born to them? Would that make any difference? Yeah, God would have lied. God never lies, and he says, you're going to have a son, you're going to have a son. If he says, you're going to have a daughter, you're going to have a daughter. And by the way, don't let them go to government school where they can think about maybe who are we, and let's change it. Can't change it. It's designed by the Lord, and that's how. And by the way, kids don't make up their own mind about which is what. Take that for what you want to. I'm running in 4 years. I want to draw your attention, if you would, please, as you think. Now, what I want to get across from this, though, particularly, is the way that God makes the announcement. Now, you heard the announcement. That's a terrific announcement. I want you to look at verse 5. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. No razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite. And in case you didn't get the term of what it means he's going to be a separatist. We talked about that this morning. Isn't that interesting? He said, well, what kind of a separatist is he? He is the kind that God can use. And you say, well, you know, separation comes and goes, and sometimes we're stronger in it than at other time. This man is not going to be like that. And God has determined his separation. It is not Samson himself that's going to decide. God has already decided before he was ever born. that he will be a separatist, and that's how it's going to go. Draw your attention, if you will, please. From the womb, he's going to be a separatist, from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. What a day that's going to be. Now, I'm going to give something away just a little bit, and I want you to jump down to verse 7. I'll give that away a little bit. But he said unto me, behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine. He's talking to the lady. Don't want you to drink any wine that is something in violation of the Nazarite vow, just as being a separatist from the rest of the world. Don't drink any of that wine. Nor strong drink. Don't want you to drink any. You're a separatist, and that's not what you're going to do. Neither eat thou any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite. You say, but she's not a Nazarite. God said, I want you to live just like that. I want you to have the right kind of food. I want you to have the right kind of cleanliness. I want you to live in this regard and so forth. I want you to do that from the time that you're conceiving and so forth. And then it goes on and says, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite. And so you're going to affect his whole life also to God from the womb. Write this down and put it in your head somewhere and in your heart to the day of his death. Now, I'm going to bring that out in this regard. Someday, his hair is going to be cut off, and therefore that cuts off his Nazarite vow. Not with this man.
That's right.
You say, why not? Because God has said he's going to be a Nazarite till the day he dies. You say, but what about this sin and that sin and that sin? I'm so glad you brought that up. That's going to be a lot of fun to talk about, see what a great man Samson was and what you think is sin. And, you know, it's just like the Lord Jesus comes on the scene. They tried to catch him in everything they could ever think about catching him. Don't you know that he runs with wine? He's a wine bibber. You say, what does that mean? He runs with the drunks. You say, was that an accusation against the Lord? It actually was. They would do anything to go against the Lord Jesus Christ and try to make him look evil. Anything at all that they could do, they would do it. And Jesus always came out okay. We cannot necessarily say that this man is a type of the Lord Jesus. But what we can say is the same thing that happened in Jesus' life, this one who knew no sin, I mean, this one who knew sin became sin for us in the fact that he had to become our sin so that we could have eternal life. When he died and paid for it, his death was for us. Now, we come to that. Notice, write it down someplace. He shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death, and God has established that, and he's written it down in the scripture so you could read it. You say, okay, now, when he sees a beautiful gal then and so forth, we always assume why a guy would look at a gal, unless you know why. And when he looks at a gal, you say, okay, he's looking at a gal, shame, 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 naughty Samson, so forth, lost all of his sanctification. The Lord says, nope, has not, and it's because you do not understand. The parents had a problem with that. We'll look at that later time, not tonight. But the parents had a real problem. They said, well, Samson, we don't understand this at all. You can't do this. And so, and then the Holy Spirit says, that's because they did not understand. Notice this, that was of the Lord.
Amen.
You say, does it really say that in the Bible? It really does. You say, could he look at a woman with the idea that it was from the Lord? Absolutely. Because Samson is not looking at immorality, like we might think this morning when we're talking about separation, but he's looking at a different direction. You say, what is his direction? His whole direction is he's going to go and kill Philistines. God has said that. It will be established. It'll be established till the day he dies. In fact, the day he dies, by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, he's killing thousands of Philistines just exactly like he's supposed to in his life. He fulfilled his life all the way along. So the Lord then gives the order. The Lord makes the announcement. The Lord gives the order. He says, right now, he's going to be Nazarite. This is who he is. He will also be a judge, of course. We understand that. There's some other judges you may or may not know. One is Samuel, for example. Another judge that we don't even think about usually is not a Nazarite necessarily, but a judge. And that would be, a Nazarite. He would be John the Baptist. You know all about him. He was a little bit different too, and that's okay. He fulfilled his job also until the day that he died. John the Baptist did. So the Lord orders all of this, tells what the vow is all about, and that God is in it. God's going to work out through all the relationships and so forth. It was a vow, by the way, of reproach. You say, what does that mean? That means that for this man to walk around in Israel, they could tell just by looking at him, he wasn't one of them. something wrong with him. And they reproached him for what he was and who he was and all that kind of thing. Same thing as the Lord Jesus. They did that same thing with him. He and Jesus are very similar in many, many ways. And you'll see that as you see more about Samson. Anyway, we come to verse 7 again. I'm going to go to verse 7 just one more time so I can impress that with you once more. He said unto me, behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and shall not drink wine, and now drink no wine nor strong drink, talking to the wife, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite separatist to God from the womb to the day of his death. You say, when he is 5 years old, did his mom cut his hair? No. You say, when he was 10 years old, did mom cut his hair? No. You say, when he's 15 years old, did mom cut his hair? No. Did mom ever cut his hair? No. You say, why not? Because he had the vow. You say, well, how long would he have that vow then if it's going to last all of his life? Is that going to happen all of his life? Well, we'll see some of that. But the intention of it is he will be a Nazarite forever in his life. And then when God is finished with his work and so forth, we'll see what happens. And that even is a glorious thing what God does with him in the end. We're not going to look at that tonight. A glorious, glorious night. And you say, well, why was it glorious the way he died and so forth? Don't want to give that away other than to say this. He was fulfilling the thing that God did in his conception, in his birth, all through his life, all of it. He suddenly was realized that he had done the thing God wanted him to do. Now, so God has announced it. God has ordered it, how it should come about, and what the wife needs to do, and what they need to do in all of this and so forth. God has even told them what the duration is and so forth. And God has ordered everything. He's announced it. He's ordered everything. Now what he does, God begins to prove the fact that it really does mean business, and it really will come to pass. And so he makes his proof, and that's called a sign. Now, we do not get signs from the Lord. Somebody said, I'm seeking a sign from the Lord. If I see such and such a parquet or whatever they are on top of the freeway, that means I'm supposed to move to Ely. No. Let's not do that. You say, how would you know that you're ever supposed to move to Ely? You get in the Word of God, see what God has to say, and God says, thou shalt not be moved. And then that settles that. So go on. So anyway, but you always go by the Word of God. Make sure you know you always go by the Word of God and not by some of those other things. Now, we're going to come and look at a sign, which is kind of interesting. I want you to do that if you would. And I want you to look at verse 8. Then Manoah, that is that dear, sweet, gentle father. Oh, may I say two heroes of the faith? Mother and father of a man like this. Sure. You say, why would God pick them? Why would he pick Mary and Joseph? You say, does God know what he's doing in picking people like that? Absolutely. Of that particular tribe? Absolutely. Parents are so essential in what they do in a child's life. Mama could have said, you can't expect me that I'm not ever going to drink of the vine. That'd be a part of her vow that God said, you will do it. Who does he think he is? I can have my own life and do what I want to. I guess we went through that this morning. Area of separation. And parents, don't let your children go down the wrong path because of the fact that they're watching you. Get on the right path with the Lord, and then everything you do, lead them along the right path, and all God's people said, amen. That's a good idea. Okay, so Manoah entreated the Lord, he's asking the Lord, and said, oh, my Lord, let the man of God, which thou didst send, come again unto us. He knew that they had an announcement, had been announced. He has faith, too. Should be in the heroes of faith. And teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. We need to know that, and what do you want us to do? And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah. I think they had a good fellowship, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her, and the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband. By the way, ladies, when you have angels come and talk to you, make sure you talk to your husband about it.
Yeah.
You say, is that okay to do that? You betcha. That's a good idea. And I like the relationship that this man has with his wife. It's a good kind of relationship. Samson's going to have a good home. And so she made haste, and she ran and told the husband about it. Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man, and said unto him, art thou the man that spake unto the woman? By the way, if you have been speaking unto your wife about spiritual things, you ought to go to him right away. say, hey, what's going on here? You say, should there be a question about that? Well, the idea, if you want to say anything to my wife, talk to me about it. Now, the angel knows all that. But just a good thought, though, and that is if men are suddenly counseled by women or other people's wives or whatever, not a good thing, not a good practice at all. Take that for what it's worth. That's Spiritual Counseling 103. Okay, so... So he rose, and Manoah, he went after his wife, and they're talking. Manoah said, now let thy words, in verse 12, let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and what shall we do unto him? And that's good. What do we actually do? The wife has said something. Now what do we do? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She needs to be very, very careful that she lives the life of a Nazirite. And again, I said, ladies could... picked to do that. God actually picked her to do it the same way he did Samson, but make her beware that she does it. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink any wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. Don't allow it to happen. And under the Jewish law, he would know what that is. All that I command her, let her observe and make sure that she does that and that you stand right with her and help her along in that situation. So Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee, because we want to have fellowship, we want to have sacrifice, we want to do those kind of things with you. And that was very nice. And the Lord said to, the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread, cannot eat of thy sacrifice. And if thou wilt offer the burnt offering, thou must offer it as unto the Lord. Make sure that you know it's the Lord, as this angel is speaking. For Manoah knew not that it was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name? What that when thou sayest come to pass, we may do the honor. In other words, what is your name so that we can honor you when all these things have happened, the child is born, and so forth. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou after my name, seeing it is a secret? Now, you know, I read that superficially, and his name is a secret. You think, why would his name be a secret? It is a secret. You say, what's the Hebrew term for secret? Wondrous. Amen. Say wondrous. Amen. I know a God that is wonderful. Yes. Amen. Amen. You say, does this have such a close relationship that God is saying, I want you to know that the orders are coming from the one who is the wonderful one. He is the secret one. And I think there's more to it than just leaving it that is a secret. That doesn't help me a whole bunch, but it sure does help me to know that it is the one that is wondrous in heaven, the heavenly one. So Manoah took the kid and a meat offering and offered upon the rock to the Lord, and the angel did wondrously. Say, when angels do wondrously, what do? I don't know. You say, do they perform different than other people? Yeah. How? I don't know that. I do know that angels do sing. Maybe they sang a solo. They've never heard of one like that before. I don't know what that is. But anyway, he did wondrously. After all, if your name is wonderful, maybe you do something wondrously. Whatever that might be. And so Manoah and his wife looked on. I bet they were through this whole thing. It's going to change their life. Amen. That won't hurt at all. They're going to be excited about it. It's going to be a good time. For it came to pass, when the flame went up toward the heaven, out of the sacrifice actually they had, the flame went up to heaven from the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. Now that's new. You talk about doing something wonderfully, that is going to catch your attention. And what are they saying? Almost like this is a sign. A sign of what? That what has been said is actually the truth. Now Israelites had signs that were given to them. We do not have sign gifts today. We don't have signs as such in our dispensation that we live in. Our period of time does not have sign. You see, I'm always looking for a sign. Don't look for a sign. You might find one, but it won't be of the Lord.
That's right.
Because God does not give signs, so must be very, very careful about that. But they came and did wondrously. Manoah and his wife looked on. As it came to pass, when the flame went up toward the heaven and the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar, and Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. It does not hurt for you to bow down to God and the things of God, whatever the Lord has to say and so forth, just jump right into it. So now they have a sign, and God is answering what is happening. Draw your attention, if you would, please, and let's come down to verse 24, if you would, please. All of this is happening. All of this is because of what God has done, and they're very, very honoring of the Lord, and here's what we have as a conclusion of the whole thing, and this is where the rubber meets the road, as it were, and God is now going to do something, and now God is moving. God is moving and doing some things unusual way right there in their presence. Verse 24. Very simple. The woman bare a son. Now I'll tell you what, if you've been barren all your life and could not bear, angel comes and says, you know, you will bear, and then suddenly you do. Amen. That kind of seals the rest of your life. Yeah. You say, what is the rest of my life? You have a certain kind of a diet for a while, at least during your pregnancy. And you're going to have to do exactly what God has. And then I want you to know that God is going to do something with you and your son that is just going to be miraculous and wonderful, and it is going to release the people from the Philistines. Would you give your son for that? And so the woman bare the son, called his name Samson. You say, what is Samson and what does that mean? It means as the sun. You say, what sun? S-U-N, but not so different from S-O-N, amen? He is the sun, and now he is like the S-U-N, sun. That's what his name is. He even has an unusual name. And the child grew, as children do, and the Lord blessed him, and God has his hand on him, and he blessed him. And God has a whole life of blessing ahead of him of what's going to happen in his life. You say, but yeah, wait till he meets and sees this woman. That's going to change the whole thing. No, what God is leading you up to the fact is that doesn't change a thing. He's going to be a separatist till the day he dies. Right. And that, no matter what you put in between, that's how it is. God cannot contradict him and contradict his word and God and contradict what he's going to do. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him at times. You say, what does that mean? Well, it means that the Spirit is moving upon him, not like he does upon all the other children in town, not like he does other people and so forth, but the Spirit of God begins to do things with him. We're going to look at those things as we go on later on in other messages and so forth, how the Spirit of God does. But here's what we need to know. Here's a man who is a separatist. Here's a man where the Spirit of God is going to be dealing with his life until the very day he dies, by the way. And he's moving upon him and doing various things that he does. And everything that comes later are things that the Spirit of God is doing in his life, preparing him for what he will do, and preparing him for the fact of, where do I find 1,000 Philistines that I could kill? Because that was his job that God gave him to do, is to destroy the Philistines. And he will do it. Yeah. You say, how will he do it? I know when we were in the military, we were always taught to make sure you have your eye open to everything around you. Always. Make sure that you know what it is. If it turns out to be an enemy, you know what to do about it. You know how to report it. You know how to neutralize him. Whether you have to kill him or whatever you have to do, but you know what to do because you're prepared for it, been trained for it. Now this man is trained for it, and he's got an eye on something. You say, his eye is on what? Well, you might be surprised sometime. You say, if you found a certain person in life, you say, you know, I'm really attracted to that person because I know what my job is. My job has never changed. And as I have my eye upon that person, it means that Philistines could be destroyed. You say, is that okay? Yeah. You say, will that happen with Samson? Yeah. It's going to be wonderful what God does. I want you to look at it one more time in verse 25. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan. That's the tribe of the judges, between Zorah and Eshtaol. You say, preacher, why do they give this name? He is in a strategic location of where he can destroy Philistines. That's what his whole life is all about. And so God has put him in that particular place so he can do that very thing. Now, I'd like to think as born-again Christians tonight that we're in a certain place in our life, that we're in a certain mode that God has in mind for us. And the Holy Spirit does not come upon us because in our dispensation when we're saved, he actually comes within us. He lives within us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. Not so in Samson's life and at that time and so forth, but the Spirit of God does move upon people, and he moves upon this man, and he positions him just right, strategic. Everything in this man's life is strategic. You say, like what? His family gave him the right family. Well, I'd like to think if I had parents, I did one day, believe it or not. And when you have parents and so forth, are you in a strategic place with your parents? Absolutely. You say, can parents move among their children? And can the Holy Spirit of God do certain things within the parents' life, just like he does in the children's life? Absolutely. Although it is not for the parents to go out and kill Philistines, it's for Samson to do that. That's his job. And so he's got a job description. Dad can't take it away and do it for him. Neither can the local priest or anybody else. Has to be by the hand of the Lord in the way that God has to do. So, this is quite a guy. And the reason he is quite a guy, a wonderful, wonderful hero, is not because of his doing. God starts it out from the very beginning. Has his hand on it. Wouldn't you like to think tonight as a born-again Christian that the hand of God is upon you? God has a certain thing for you to do in your life. I'm going to perform it. Yes. You say, would I perform it even till the day I die? Why not? Yeah. Keep on doing it till the day you go, whatever that happens to be. A lot of my friends are leaving us on this earth, and my family and so forth, and they've done what they're supposed to do and so forth. And what we do is we keep on and doing the thing God would have us to do. We all need to do that, amen? You say, is that going to be pleasing to God? Yes. Is God in charge of it all? Absolutely. Does God intervene in things even in our life? We'd never expect it. This could never happen. We're a barren family. Yes, it can. You say, this could never happen. Who on earth is this little tiny infant so forth? He's not going to destroy the Philistine. You watch, I'll bet you anything he does. It's good to trust the Lord. Do you trust the Lord? Yeah. Amen. Let's all stand and pray together. And we'll go on with this next week. Make sure you pick up an outline tonight and readjust it however you want to with numbers and so forth. You'll enjoy it.